In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss strategy, sacrifice, and soulmates in A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about our favorite young adult books, series, and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amber.
And I'm Farah. And I'm Amanda.
You look like Farah, though, so it's okay. And today we're going to be talking about A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas.
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this book, please remember that all our podcasts are going to be full of spoilers. If you haven't read and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the books. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just love us so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. I think I could have done that in one breath if I had remembered that I was speed reading it. I know, I had to take a break. Like, or if you don't care about spoilers. if I had thought about it at the beginning, I would have been able to do it in one go.
Next time. Maybe you can do that for the Harry Potters. Just like speed through them, because everybody knows there's always going to be spoilers with Harry Potter now. That's true. If you people get upset that you spoil something about Harry Potter, it's like, bro. You're too far behind to get upset about that.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
No. The books have been out for way too long to even halfway get upset about anything. And the movies, too. Like, you need to give up.
Yeah, exactly.
I finished reading Deathly Hallows.
Aww.
There's so many things I forgot.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to reread them. I'm so excited. I should have started reading that last night. I need to start.
You do. But, you know, because you already know everything that happens in Harry Potter, it's easier to craft or do other things because you already know. You've already read it. You've already watched all the movies. So it's easy. It's easy to listen to. So what's up?
Just busy over here. And I don't even know what I did this weekend. Hung out with my mom all day. Went to the ballet to see Wonderland, which was actually pretty good.
Didn't you go see The Lion King recently, too?
Yep, and I'm going to see Kinky Boots in 2 days.
That's fun.
All the theater. One was a ballet, two are musicals.
You're so fancy going to theater.
You know.
It's wonderful.
What's the word? I was going to say, like, I'm part of the
aristocracy.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. I'm like, aristocracy?
Aristocracy! Yep. That is how you would say it, though, so it's perfect. Yeah. I love it.
Exactly. What have you been up to?
Making garbage wings.
Garbage.
My garbage wings. I've been making garbage wings. I made these wings out of garbage bags.
And anything else? What's on them? Like, is it, like, what shapes them?
Friendly plastic. The same thing that I made my Nova crown.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. They look really good.
Thanks. Only from this angle, though. Like, they don't go down into anything because, I mean, whenever I make videos, you can't see the bottom half of me. So there's no point in me worrying that much about it. And also, I don't have enough room in my apartment to make them extend. So they are always closed. They don't expand into anything.
I like them, though. I wish I had wings and pointy ears.
You do have pointy ears.
I mean, in real life.
Oh, in real life. Yes, I wish I had wings. Yeah.
That'd be great.
And also my sweet tattoo sleeve that I made, that I'm sending you one.
I really like that, too, though. She made, like, instead of having to draw on her skin, Amanda drew on pantyhose.
And I made them into a glove. That's hard to do. Look at my fingers. World that can't see anything.
Yeah.
Pantyhose glove.
They look really good.
Thanks.
What else have you been up to? Anything exciting?
No, I don't think so. No, I didn't do anything fun this weekend because I had a migraine on Sunday. So that like completely ruined everything. Saw Detective Pikachu. That was fun.
What is that?
Detective Pikachu? It's a movie. It's Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu. Oh
my God.
It's so good.
I hadn't even heard of that. That sounds insane.
So good. Detective Pikachu. It was really cute.
Okay.
It was a good live-action Pokemon movie. Featuring Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
Listen, whatever floats your boat, I won't judge.
You shouldn't judge. It's based on a video game. You like video games. Just because it's Pokemon doesn't mean...
Like, I don't like Pokemon much, though.
Oh, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, my goodness. Nicole. Okay, let's get into the summary. I mean, background info.
Let's do. So, I mean, how much more background info can we really provide for these things? Because it's the third book in a series. So, I just found something neat from an interview with Eliza Thompson from Cosmopolitan back in April of 2017. She asked Sarah J. Maas, who were some of your favorite fictional heroines growing up? Buffy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer was probably my favorite and one of the most life-changing heroines. I felt a lot like Buffy in high school. I was okay at classes. I wasn't the best student in my class. I wasn't the worst. Buffy couldn't be put into any kind of box in the way that society likes to make us squeeze into these boxes. She wasn't just a girly girl. She wasn't a tomboy. She was the Slayer who was destined to save the world and fight these horrible creatures. But she was also a girly girl who loved clothes and what society deemed to be very feminine things. I felt like that growing up. Like, there were all these bits and pieces of me. Buffy started airing at a very crucial time in me figuring out my identity. Then later on, in another question, she says about how Feyre is like Buffy. She says, you can wear pants in the morning or afternoon and then change into a fancy dress and have your hair done, and it doesn't change who you are. You could be so many different things and never have to apologize for it. And that sounds like Feyre wrapped up in a nutshell.
It definitely does. It's reminding me of somebody else we read about recently, but I don't remember enough to go into it, so.
Felicity?
I think that's what I was. Oh, or yeah, Joanna.
Yeah.
Get it, girl. I'm down.
Yeah.
I love wearing dresses.
You do. You are a girly girl. I'm wearing a dress today.
You are. It also looks very pretty, like it might be low cut a little.
Yeah, and it's fantastic because I can change how it looks. I can, like, pull this apart or close it together. Yeah, it's real fancy.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm all about convertibles. Oh, I know. I'm so fancy.
I got a convertible dress yesterday in the mail, like, really late, and I can't wait to go home and try it on, but it's for my cousin's wedding.
It's fun.
I'm going to see how it looks, though.
I bet it'll be fantastic.
I hope so. Okay, so what were your initial thoughts on this book?
Amber, I'm ashamed to say it.
Amanda, it's okay.
I just hate these books so much. I don't know what it is. I really enjoyed the second one. And I was like, yes, I love the second one so much. So the third one is going to be awesome. But then it just dragged. So while I love the characters, love all of the characters, the books are just not for me. But the characters are amazing.
Just lead with that and we'll be fine. You know, like...
The characters are amazing.
You know, the thing you can say is, like, the second book was great, and I love the characters. And, you know, three could use some work, and that's it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, I can't even deny that. I had a hard time getting through three myself. It took me the longest to read out of all of them, for sure. The second book's amazing. I mean, everybody knows that. Everybody who talks about this series talks about that. It's the best. So, you know, I knew going into it that this book was going to be war heavy and it was going to be have a lot of twists and turns, a lot of small delights. And in that, it didn't disappoint. There was some really good plot wrap ups that I liked a lot, I'll say. But it did seem very drawn out. So I wasn't such a I still love the series. But I think for me, I love the series because I love the characters. Like, I just want to live.
I love the characters, too. I don't understand. I don't understand where the disconnect is with me in these books. It seems like I should like them because I really do love all of the characters.
I know.
And that's, like, we even talked about not doing this one right now. And I was like, but no, because I want to dress up as Feyre. I want to make wings. I want to do this. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's very interesting, and it's interesting that you can connect with characters so much in a book and not with the plot line, I guess, a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, but whatever. I mean, it is a very war-heavy book, this second one in particular. And it's...
No, the third one.
Sorry, that's what I meant, the third one.
And we know how much I don't like war books after...
Yeah.
What was it? Red Queen? The Ends of Red Queen? Yeah. Too much war, too much battle. I don't like that. But anyway, should we summarize? Is it
Yeah, let's go.
So, remember the awful ending to A Court of Mist and Fury? Yep. Yes, we all remember how terrible that was. Well, we pick up right where we left off with Feyre back in the Spring Court with Tamlin. Oh, I need the barf bag for that. Determined to destroy the Spring Court from within. That is great, but not being back with Tamlin.
Yeah.
Her inside position gives her ample opportunity to gather intel, and she finds out that Highburn will soon be moving forces into the Spring Court. Jurian arrives first to scope the wall and the area, along with two Highburn twins, Branna and Dagdon. Feyre accompanies the trio, along with Lucien, to three different holes in the wall.
In between outings to scope out the wall, Feyre manages to drive a wedge between Tamlin and his people. First, she tricks Ianthe and steals her limelight.
It's the sunlight, really, right?
Yeah. Definitely the sunlight. causing people to think Feyre is blessed instead of Ianthe. She also sets up a seemingly intimate scene between her and Lucien and times it exactly right so that Tamlin can witness their close proximity after she, has a nightmare and runs into Lucien's room. She's real devious in here.
She's diabolical right now.
And last, and probably, worse, but not by Feyre worse, just worst of the situation, when Ianthe sets up one of Tamlin's sentries and says that he stole a key when really she stole it, Feyre defends the sentry against Tamlin and begs him to show mercy. And instead, Tamlin takes Ianthe's side and whips the man, causing all his sentries to, lose faith in him and start to see Feyre as somebody that they look up to.
That makes me so angry. Once Feyre learns that Highburn is planning to use the cauldron to collapse the wall, she starts planning her return to the Night Court. On the third and final trip to the wall, she starts her escape, only to run into Ianthe, abusing Lucien. She saves him using her mind control abilities, then also has to fight off the Highburn twins who come to thwart her escape. They've noticed her loyalties and have been slowly poisoning her so that she has no magic.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. With her last drop of magic, she manages to kill both twins before escaping through the passage to Under the Mountain and the Autumn Court, with Lucien following behind.
Lucien following behind, eh?
Yeah, what? What is this?
Going after his mate. All right, well, Lucien and Feyre travel through the Autumn Court, which is where Lucien's from, and so he's trying to keep them out of harm's way. However, they are captured by Lucien's brothers, but they end up managing to escape thanks to Feyre's multifaceted powers, which include fire.
That are slowly starting to come back at this point.
Yes, very slowly. So that's a good point. Definitely very slowly. That's all she could manage at the time. They were running for a long time. I feel like it was days that they had no magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as they're crossing an ice lake, they're caught again by his brothers, and this time Feyre is defeated and cannot overtake them. Luckily, right at this time, Cassian and Azriel show up to rescue them and take them back to Velaris.
Back in Velaris, up the House of Wind, Feyre visits her sisters for the first time since they've turned into High Fae. Nesta is pissed and angry, while Elaine is depressed and wafer-thin. During their first inner circle dinner back, Feyre recruits Nesta to help try to fix the holes in the wall. She agrees and begins training with Amarin. As part of their training, they visit the Court of Nightmares with the others to test Nesta's ability to feel for powerful objects. The rest of the group goes to ask for aid in the upcoming war.
Feyre spends her time training with Cassian and learning to fly with Azriel, as well as reading with Rice about the wall and how to take it down. They discuss recruiting the Bone Carver and decide to pay him a visit. Instead of Rice going, he sends Cassian with Feyre, and when they see him, he agrees to join their war if Feyre will bring him the Ouroboros.
What is that?
What is that indeed? It is a mirror that is a family heirloom, and we find out that nobody has been able to look at it without going mad.
It's the crazy mirror.
It shows you the truth about yourself.
I wonder if she'll be able to retrieve this mirror later on. While searching for more information on the wall, Nesta and Feyre are ambushed in the library by two Highburn ravens.
Wait, didn't Elaine say something about ravens?
She did, but right. I mean, they don't really understand anything that she's saying right now because she's not really making a whole lot of sense.
No, she said like a black and a white raven will show up or something.
Yeah. Well, they retreat to the lowest levels of the library where Feyre runs into a monster and makes a bargain with it to bring company if it kills the ravens. Well, that's so nice. I'll bring you a friend if you murder people. This monster has scared Cassian in the past, terrified him. We learn that Elaine was given the gift of sight from the cauldron and has been predicting future events this whole time. That's what the ravens were about then.
I mean, at least she's not really crazy.
That's
they
true.
Were really worried for her sanity. And we're like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, oh, she's not crazy. She's just seeing the future. Nah, it's fine. Normal.
Totally normal. Well, when they're back, after all that goes down, the Inner Circle ends up getting word that the Summer Court's under attack. And, of course, they go to help. When they arrive, they see that no other court has come to assist and that the Summer Court is being slaughtered. With their intervention, they help squash the attack, but it turns out that it wasn't Highburn's real army. In fact, when Rice went to fight the King of Highburn on the boats, it turned out that he was just a hologram? Yeah. I was going to say apparition? Hologram? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so not really the big thing, but, you know, ultimately they were able to get them out. The group had already been working on gathering all the High Lords by sending out invitations, but now it's especially imperative that they gather everybody together.
All the High Lords gather at the Dawn Court, with Tamlin and Baron arriving last, making a scene. They learn about the Feybane antidote. Remember that Feybane that Feyre was attacked with at the very beginning? There's an antidote for it now. And they can take it to protect all of their powers. All the other High Lords finally see evidence of Feyre having their powers. We meet Helion and find out some juicy secrets. All around, it's a productive meeting until Nesta freaks out, saying that they need to leave. Then she gets sick and barfs in the reflection pool and tells them that the wall has been taken down by the cauldron.
Well, with that knowledge, it's time to get serious and buckle down and get all the help that they can get. So Feyre and Amarin go to the library and they try to strike a deal with, I say this different, I'm sure I do. I say Braxis.
Braxis is how I say it, so
Braxis. Braxis.
If you say Braxis, it's the same. It's the same.
Okay, so they strike a deal with Braxis, the monster who resides in the library to help fight during the war. The team also winnow to the Grayson Manor.
Oh, that's Elaine's human fiance, right?
Yeah, it's the Fae-hating people who, like, built walls around their house and stuff.
Yikes, why would they go there? Sheesh.
Well, they go and beg them to help shelter the humans, to help them, because they know the walls will keep the rest of the Fae out. Oddly, Jurien shows up, explaining that he is not the enemy and has been fighting Highburn from the inside and has made friends with Grayson and the family there.
That was bonkers.
A little strange turn of events.
So there's a lot of battle strategies that come next, but the down low of it all is that Highburn is very smart and tactical, and the Night Court and team are severely outnumbered. At the last minute, Feyre goes to get the Ouroboros mirror and the Bone Carver for the fight. Just as the battle is about to start, she reveals the carver as a present to Reese, and he reveals that he recruited the weaver to help. So now they have the bone carver, the weaver, and Bryaxis on their side. Some fantastic monsters fighting for them here.
For real.
At the last possible minute, Tamlin, Baron, and Grayson come over the crest to join the fight.
I got to talk about that later, because I really did like the Ouroboros stuff, and I also really liked the fact that Rice got the Weaver without any of us even knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was from Feyre's point of view, and so we had no idea that the Weaver was coming, and also the Ouroboros, that when she brought it to him, he was like, I have no need for this. I just wanted to see if you were worthy. I was like, makes sense to me. It's like, jeez.
If we had known that.
Yeah, I know.
The first time.
Oh. So you'd think that the fight would be fair, because we got all these monsters and we got all these men, but it is not. It is still severely outnumbered. The fight is still a bloodbath. The cauldron's power gets unleashed and kills all the Illyrian soldiers in the air. Nesta is able to warn them and save Cassian, but, I mean, pretty much all of them go down.
Mm-hmm.
Feyre and Amrin take off to find the cauldron to nullify its power, but when they get there, Amrin has tricked Feyre, and she is stuck attached to the cauldron, seeing what it sees. So she's kind of teleported out and is with Nesta, facing the King of Highburn, who has their father captive.
When did he get there? What?
Oh, yeah. So by the way, when Lucien went off to the continent, he found the Lost Queen, but he also found Feyre's father and brought him back, because he was already planning to fight. To fight this war. And then they also run into Draken and Miriam, the Seraphim.
Wow.
I totally wrote that differently. That's really funny. But the Seraphim, yes, right?
Seraphim? Yeah, wow.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Crazy. So now our numbers are getting back up a little. We're looking kind of good. Anyway, so the father's being held captive by the King of Highburn. Cassian tries to save Nesta from the king, but he gets badly hurt. And then the king kills their father right in front of them. And in reaction, Elaine thrusts her dagger, which Azriel had given to her, which was really his shadow singer, right, into the king's throat and kills him.
Yeesh.
So Feyre is watching all of that outside of her body projected from the cauldron. And she's back at the cauldron, holding onto the cauldron, trying to let go, but not able to.
So back at the cauldron, we learn that Amrin betrayed them so she could free herself. But in the process, she will be able to help kill anything in their path. So she is unleashed upon the world. And oh, what a sight. The remaining boats and soldiers on Hybern's side go down. But releasing her causes the cauldron to break apart. Without it, everything living will be ended. Realizing this, Feyre sets to restore the cauldron, since like calls to like. Remember that from, like, the very, very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
She uses Reese as a conduit for the power, but the effort it takes ends up killing him. But Reese can't die? Oh my god, come on!
No.
So he didn't. He didn't die. So the
I mean, he lords, did die.
Well, he did die, but the High Lords do their kernel of power thing and resurrect him. All of them, even Tamlin.
Yeah.
Even Tamlin. So somehow after he returns, Amrin is also still there. Reese pulls her out of the cauldron, but she's no longer a demigod or super powerful, whatever she was. But she's just a regular old High Fae.
What was she? She a death god? Like, I don't know. That's why I was like, I don't remember.
Well, when thinking about this in my own world of watching Supernatural, she seems like an angel.
Okay.
Like only from Supernatural point, like exploding into bright light and like killing everything. That's what the angels do.
She's like a fallen angel.
Yeah, whatever.
Kinda.
She's got some really awesome powers, but that's just what I thought of because, like, it describes, you know, being like a super bright light. And that's what the angels look like in Supernatural. when they die or when they use their powers or whatever, it's like a huge bright flash of light. So that's what I thought of. And I like Amryn, so I want her to be an angel.
Of course.
So whatever she is, she's not that.
She's still amazing either way. No, yes. No, for sure.
But she doesn't have any powers anymore. She's just a regular old high fae.
Right, exactly. Which still has powers, just not the same kind of powers.
Right.
Not nearly as powerful.
No.
Well, the book ends with all of these separate groups meeting at the site of Feyre's old estate. Not much of the structure remains. We have the humans, represented by Jurien, and that fifth queen, Vasa, or sixth queen, that wasn't able to show up at the meeting last book.
But who's also half firebird?
Yeah, she's like a phoenix during the day. During the night. During the night. I don't know. She's a phoenix half the day.
She's a firebird.
And she's been held by a god, but he's allowed her to leave for a while to help. So
gracious.
I know. Then we also have the old Seraphim and get to meet Miriam and Draken. And then we have all the High Lords, of course. And at this point, Feyre steps in and tries to begin discussions about a new treaty with the human and the Feylands. And maybe they live happily ever after.
Maybe.
Probably not, but.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, come on.
It was kind of a weird ending, actually.
A little non-ending-ish.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like there was no, like, actually. Yeah, anyways, but that's fine. Yeah. It was still. Feyre was fighting for the humans, and they were all together, and, you know. Yeah, yeah.
And nobody that we really care about died.
Nobody died besides, like, their dad.
Yeah.
I thought
Reese died, but he came back.
He didn't stay dead. Doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite part?
So I really love the meeting of the High Lords when I know it was like annoying, but I also liked how Feyre just like lost her temper kind of and went off on, I forget if it was Baron or who she went off on.
I think it was Baron.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know. I liked like learning about the other High Courts and their wives and all their situations and stuff. I also loved meeting Helion and realizing that Lucien is his son.
What?
Big
that was
deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explains so much about why his father and his brothers hate him.
I know. It makes so much sense. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, you would have been so much better off with him. So let's see. What else did I like? I really, you know, one of the moments that broke my heart that I loved was with the Suriel when Elaine helps track it down for Feyre and Feyre goes to find it. And she's talking to it, and she's kind of like, why do you keep coming back for me? You know, and she's, the Suriel ends up dying at the hands of Ianthe, but.
Yeah, because she makes brutes shoot with arrows.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then she tricks her into going to the Weaver's house. So, screw you, Ianthe. You got it coming. And then Feyre is able to go back to the Suriel and kind of, like, sit with it while it dies. And it's like, you know, you have. To leave this place a better place, you know, like you have the power to do that and whatever. And we realize that the Suriel like came to her so many times because the Suriel has a heart of a dreamer. And it's even though it looks scary and it's terrible and so many people are afraid of Suriels, it's like not a nightmare. It's a dreamer.
No, and Feyre was always so like, I'm not necessarily nice, but she kind of was, but she always like treated it well. You know,
she was fair to
it. Yeah.
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 What about you?
Yeah, I liked it at the very, very, very beginning when Feyre forces Ianthe to smash her own hand with a rock because she was going to do terrible things with Lucien. No.
So great. And it was like, don't touch anybody with this hand ever again.
Yeah. Oh, it was so great. Just smashing her own hand over and over and over again with a rock. It was perfect. And also, God, even though I hate him so much, but Tamlin at the end telling Feyre to be happy as he gives his little kernel of magic to Reese, like there it is. But he like looks at her and is like, be happy, Feyre, here I'm giving my kernel, I'm the last one. But I still hate his guts out. He's awful.
He's not awful, but, like, sorry, that's a wrong word to use. He's, like, sad. So sad.
But he's awful. Also angry and hateful.
He is now, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I also, you know, really liked knowing that her father was over on the continent. Like, when she came, he came back with his ships, they were all named after his kids. It was, like, the Elaine, the Nesta, and the Feyre. And it was, like, he had been telling all the people that, like, his girls were over here and he had done wrong by them and was trying to make it right. And they thought that he had forgotten about them. And I was worried that he sided with Highbird. I was worried that he was sided with, like, the queens. I thought that. Turns out he found the one good queen and, you know? Yeah. So, I love that.
What was your least favorite part?
Ugh, I hated when those, what are they called? The blessed children of the blessed children, whatever they're called, came and to the hole in the wall and the twins wanted to play with them and Feyre forbid it. And then that night or the next morning, Feyre wakes up to just like carnage of them because the twins raced and found them and just demolished them and destroyed them. Ugh.
Well, at least she got them back.
Yep, with that bogey.
That part was really rough, though.
Yeah, it was just so cruel. You know what I mean? Like, we see so much humanity in Feyre being a fae. Even Rhysand and Mor, we see so much humanity in them that we forget that, like, the fae are these feared creatures to humans. Mm-hmm. And then we see that and we're like, oh, that's why, like, these guys are bad. Not just bad, like, they're despicable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was your least favorite moment?
I hated that first war council meeting with Tamlin just being such a dick and blaming every terrible thing that happened in the Spring Court on Feyre, which, granted, it was her fault, but, I mean, he deserved it. Anytime he said anything, it was a cutting remark to Feyre, and he just made me so angry in that scene. I couldn't handle it.
And calling her, like, I feel like he called her a whore and, like, said these awful things, and I wanted to be like, mother?
Yeah, and they were also talking about Rhys being Amarantha's whore, and, like, you don't know what he was going through that entire time, and you don't know why he did what he did. So just stop being such a dick, Tamlin.
Yeah.
Awful. Hated that part. I hated it. It made me so angry.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character?
I mean, I'm still sticking with Amarin. I like Amarin a lot. She wasn't huge in this one. I also really liked Nesta, even though she's kind of angry all the time. But I liked Nesta too.
Yeah, she was very angry.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
What about you? Is it still Rhys? You still love Rhys?
Well, I didn't even say Rhys for any of them.
You didn't?
I don't think so. I think I said Feyre for... I might have said Rhys for the first one. And then Mor for the second one.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So...
The Morgan.
I really did like Rhys in this one particularly, actually. And his demeanor and how he behaved. Mm-hmm. I also really did like Nesta. I mean, I love Feyre and Rhys, so it's hard, but I did like Nesta a lot. And I also liked Azriel. I feel like we got to see a little bit more of him, his funny side this time. Like, when teaching Feyre how to fly, there were some real good scenes where he was, like, you know, just, yeah.
Like, that tree that you just flew into, I mean, it's been there for forever. You should have seen it.
Didn't move.
It's been there, though.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by anything?
I was definitely surprised by the ending with Amara and Feyre and how she tricked her into doing something. And I found out I got the reason when she explained it later on, but, like, it was potentially going to kill Feyre, what happened there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was really interesting in that. I think Feyre would have made the decision to go and do it anyways. And so I didn't like that she didn't give her the option or tell her.
Yeah.
But it surprised me either way. I was like, when they got there and I was like, I was shook that Amarin, like,
I'm sorry.
Don't make fun of me.
That's my most surprising moment. Forget what I was gonna say. You saying that you were shook is my most surprising moment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was shook that Amarin would ever betray Feyre in any way.
Yeah. But it all worked out well in the end.
It did. I also was really pretty surprised about the Weaver, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
I knew that Amarin and her had gotten Braxis and she got the Bone Carver. And I was like so excited for Rhys to be really proud of her. Like I was like Feyre, like, be so excited and proud of me. I went and got the Ouroboros and got the Bone Carver. And then he's like, oh yeah, I got the Weaver. And it's like, oh, we really are equals. Jesus. Like, so funny. All right, sorry. What were you surprised by? What were you shooketh by?
I was shooketh by by finding out that Lucien was Helion's son.
Yes.
But it made perfect sense. I mean, he already didn't really look like his family. He's like darker in complexion than his family, and apparently he has Helion's nose and smile and whatever else, but it was just so shocking to me to find that out because, you know, you don't really hear a whole lot about many of the other courts. You know that they're there and you know that they're doing their own things, but then you find out, oh, guess what? This High Lord was with this lady and, you know, she's from over here and he's from over there and, oh, look, now they have a son. And that's why his father and brothers treated him like garbage. Because he's a bastard.
Bastard.
Oh.
Also, Lucien Snow.
Yes, Lucien Snow. Although he probably wouldn't be Snow. What would they be? River? Rivers?
Autumn?
Yeah, but, I mean, we're thinking in terms of Game of Thrones here.
Maybe Rivers. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
Yeah. Also, I was shook when Jurian turned out to be good. I can't say that I was shook. I was really surprised to find out that Jurian was good.
It just came out of my mouth, Amanda. I haven't said that, like, ever. It just came out. I was just excited.
It's because you were so shook by what happened.
I was so shook. Anyways. All right. Jurian being good was definitely a big surprise because I hated him last book.
Yeah.
So what do you wish would have happened?
This is what I was going to say earlier. I wish that the book would have been about 30% shorter.
I mean, hell, even 50% shorter.
Well, I didn't want to say 50%, but still, yes.
I feel like it would be fine with me.
Yeah, me too. But I didn't want to say that. So, yeah, I wish it would have been so much shorter. There was so much added in that I feel like could have been left out. I mean, it's just like with the first one. I feel like the first half really just dragged, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, I feel like it would have been better. I would have enjoyed it so much more if it hadn't been 700 pages long. What about you?
Was it that long, for real?
699 pages is the hardback.
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
That's unreasonable.
Yeah. Like, that whole first part with Feyre being in the Spring Court, that could have been a novella.
Yeah.
Take that out. Put it somewhere else.
Ugh, gosh. That's just so many.
Yeah, it was really too long. And it was difficult for me since I wasn't so invested in the series.
Yeah.
To then meet with a 700-page book as the last one.
707 on Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. You know, it's so funny looking at the ratings that the first book got a 4.26. The second book got a 4.68.
And that's huge.
And the third got a 4.5. The second book literally got a almost 0.42 increase in rating. I mean, that's a 4.68 is a very high rated book on Goodreads.
Yeah.
Like, that's gigantic. And there's tons of reviews, I'm sure. I haven't looked, but there's 224,000. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you wish that anything would have happened differently?
No, I agree. I don't really like, there was a lot of parts I felt could have been taken out, some of which we haven't even mentioned, you know?
Yeah, well, because it's just too much. There's
exactly,
way too much.
Exactly. Like, the King of Hyrun stole Elaine captive, and Feyre went off randomly to go get her and didn't tell anybody, and then Tamlin actually helped save her, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Actually, she did tell Rhys because Asriel went with her, but still, unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Yeah, and that's even just in the last, 20 chapters that happens.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It happens after the Suriel because she knows that Ianthea is dead and she poses as Ianthea. She walks in.
Yeah, so much stuff happened. Hmm. Anyway, is it time?
It's time.
Would you rather? I feel like the way I said that, it's like, it should have been, would you rather, should have been brought to us by sponsors. Would you rather? Brought to you today by Ianthe smashing her hand with a rock.
I wonder if we could get sponsors just for would you rather.
That would be excellent.
I know. We should try.
Does anyone want to sponsor would you rather? Because you should. And you should give us, you should let us know and you should give us money.
Money or free samples? We'll take both.
Yeah, we'll take samples. We'll take things. Treasures.
We should actually do that. We should email some people, like, come up with the email and do it. Just send out a blanket one. If we actually want to. I've read up on it recently for us.
That would be great. So, we asked you guys on Facebook, would you rather be sweet darkness or glittering white? And we didn't just make that up. That's a quote. It's a quote from the book. And here it is. Night triumphant and the stars eternal. If he was the sweet, terrifying darkness, I was the glittering light that only his shadows could make clear. It's a very nice, sweet description of Feyre and Rhys. But taking out of context, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
would you rather be sweet darkness or glittering light? So that's what we asked. 51%. On Facebook said they would rather be sweet darkness, and 49% said glittering light. Very close. Very close on Facebook.
On Instagram, we had 60% say sweet darkness and 40% say glittering light. So still close, but not as close, and still in favor of sweet darkness.
Yes, sweet darkness all the way. You have to share Claire's point of view.
Well.
Wait, hold on. Everyone remembers Claire, right?
From last week.
Everyone remembers and loves Claire.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So she
what
says,
did she say this time?
I would choose sweet darkness. It feels like there is more depth of character, more nuances and layers. From the quote, glittering light is dependent on the darkness and not the reverse. And I don't want that. In the words of a great modern philosopher of our time, Beyonce. No, I can't do it. All the women who independent, throw your hands up at me. All of my fellas who getting jealous. No, she didn't write that part, but she did write. She did write because I depend on me if I want. All the women who are independent, throw your hands up at me.
That's fantastic. She has to be an independent woman. Although I kind of wish that you would have tried to do it in her accent.
Oh God, me and accents don't work out ever. You're the accent queen.
Next time.
It's enough to get me to sing and dance.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, so Steph said she chose sweet darkness because she will forever be the goth kid. Also, she has a sweet tooth. And she's a ginger. Light is her enemy. That's funny.
Tanya says glittering light because glitter. That's how I feel.
Ashley said, I have never been described as a shining light, and I don't plan on changing now. Well, what did you say? Are you darkness or are you light?
Light. Glitter. All the glitter. Are you darkness?
Yeah.
You are wearing wings that are black.
Yeah, I'm darkness.
Anytime I have to be an angel or a devil for a costume, I'm always an angel.
Nope, the other way. I am always a devil.
But it's supposed to be like, actually, even in our case, I feel like it's ironic.
You're ironically an angel and I'm ironically a devil?
Well, I think the pair of us, me being the angel and you being the devil, is slightly ironic.
I don't know. I think we both have good and bad in both of us. We'll pull out that Sirius Black quote again.
Okay. We ready for the next one?
Yes.
Would you rather ruin a court from the inside out or from the outside in?
I'm going to go inside out. I feel like we talked about this in another episode, too.
Well, we talked about being like
spies.
Yeah, or like a whore, basically. Like either being her in Tamlin's court or being Feyre in the Court of Nightmares on Rhys's lap. But it was weird because, like, I couldn't use something like that because, anyways, yeah. That's what we did last time.
Yeah, so I'd rather again be the spy.
I feel like my other option this time isn't as fun as being in the Court of Nightmares on Rhys's lap.
Well, because you're not on his lap, and that's your dream.
I know. I mean, I know. So, I actually might, I don't know, it's hard. I'm not sure I'd be great at inside out. Like, I think I'd be better outside in.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Ah.
Would you rather have the Bone Carver or the Weaver as your ally?
I think the Weaver.
You love the Weaver.
I do. Which is funny because I like the Bone Carver a lot, too. I like both of them a lot. But the Weaver just reminds me of, like, the creepy old maid spinning a spindle. But, like, then you find out that she's actually really cool and crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like when she's on your team, she's great.
Yeah. I feel like the Bone Carver is probably more terrifying.
Yeah, probably.
So then I think that I would like to have the Bone Carver as my ally because of the terror factor.
Yeah. I understand that.
The way that, especially with the way that you just described the Weaver as, you know, being a frail old witch.
I picture her like hunched over and gnawing on guys' bones, like eating them, like nom 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 nom
nom nom nom. Long stringy hair.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love it.
So then I would rather have the Bone Carver because he's more terrifying. Although the Weaver could, you know, probably inspire some nightmares too.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think she had like real teeth.
It's hard to say. That's why she's gnawing on bones, apparently.
Exactly. She gets them up to the cauldron at the end.
I'm not saying she's not great. I'm just saying I picked the Bone Carver for the terror factor.
Yeah. I understand. I think both are great allies to have. Clearly they did too, since they got both of them.
Yeah. And for Axis.
Yeah. Would you rather be Nesta or Elaine? In this book specifically.
I say Nesta because she has more confidence. I feel like Elaine is... Or at least at the beginning, you know, she's so... No, and even into the middle, too, she's so broken. Mm-hmm. And it's... She's misunderstood.
It's hard.
But, you know, she can see the future, so that's also really cool.
She also killed the King of
Highburn. And she also kills the King of Highburn with a dagger to the neck, so that is also great. But still, I'll pick Nesta. What about you?
I think I'd pick Nesta, too. I mean, I would like to be able to see the future, but I would not like to sit in that pity and sorrow. That is not me. No. I am anger and...
Yeah. Yeah. Me, too.
I can sit in self-pity and, like, despair for a while, but, like, a while
not,
to me
not
is,
as
like...
long as Elaine.
No, that's what I mean. A while to me is, like, a week. And, like, she was gone. Feyre was gone for a while. And they were already like that, you know, and they were still like that for a while. So,
yeah,
no way.
I also hate that she was you know, still hung up on Grayson when Lucien's right there.
I know. She doesn't know how great Lucien is, though.
True. I really like Lucien.
Me too.
Maybe I should pick Elaine then, because then I'd have Lucien.
Elaine doesn't ever go with Lucien, though.
But still, he's there. At her disposal.
At her disposal.
That's terrible. Sorry I said that. Okay. Let's go back to this bone carver. Would you rather be the bone carver or Bryaxis?
Okay, so I definitely would rather be the bone carver for the sole purpose that I can change whatever I look like to whoever sees me. Whereas I feel like Braxis, nobody can even look at them because they literally, like, I think the idea is that they die from looking at them. That's what it seemed like.
Because they're so scary.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I thought that he, like, had some sort of magic that, like, you look at me and you die.
Well, like, I feel like it's almost just terror. Just sheer terror.
Yeah.
But, maybe. You know, who knows?
But monsters. I love the idea of everybody looking at me, seeing something different. What about you? Did I steal your answer?
No.
Okay, good.
I want to be Bryaxis because Bryaxis lives in the library.
Okay, should have seen that one coming.
You should have. Should have seen it coming.
I was so excited that I had a good answer. I was like, oh, I know. And it's not just because, like, it's the cooler one. Like, it was a real reason. But you have a very good reason, too. So I would definitely rather live in the library than in the prison. Oh, God. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's it for Would You Rather. Do you have any life lessons for us, Amanda?
I don't think I do. There's so much. It's too much. This book was too much for me to even comprehend having life lessons. What is something that I can make up?
I thought of something along the way, but I forgot already.
Oh, no. True love conquers all.
Revenge is never a fitting end.
Very good. All right.
Yeah. I feel like so much of, like, Tamlin's stuff is, like, revenge or anger and, like,
yeah.
I don't know. He lives in so much hatred, and we see how Rice does so much better because he doesn't.
Yeah.
Even though he could, you know?
Yeah, so. He could be terrible, and he's so powerful. Like, there's so many things that he could do, but he chooses not to because he's a better person. Yeah, that's excellent. Final thoughts
are, like we said earlier, love the cast. Cast makes this book.
Yes. And
love Feyre, love Rice, and love the whole inner circle is just fantastic. Love Lucien even by the end of this for sure. Even Jurian becomes redeemable.
Yeah.
Oddly, you know. We actually finally meet Miriam and Draken. I just amazing job with character development and characters, learning backstories of characters. I think she's done a great job with that. The plot definitely over the top, and that might be what it is. It's over the top, and it's a little bit too hard to follow and believe in because of that, even though it is fantasy and we know that it's coming. For me, the final string was Bryce dying and coming back to life. I was like, really? Did you really have to throw that in there?
Yeah,
because, like, that was unnecessary. Just skip it. Because now you've gone too far for me.
Or let him die. That's more believable. Let his sacrifice be real. Let him die. Don't bring him back. It doesn't always have to be a happy ending.
I think Cassian should have died, to be honest.
Oh, one of them. Cassian or Azrael.
One of them should have died. I think that Cassian should have died with the King of Highburn when he was trying to protect Nesta. It looked like he was going to. Mm-hmm. So, just, you know what I mean? Like, I think some of that, it's like, you don't get to have these crazy war scenes and this over-the-top storyline with everybody surviving. It's not realistic. It doesn't happen. And us readers don't really always want that either. You know, like, I like a happy ending, but I don't love, like, a super unrealistic happy ending.
Yeah.
So.
And even the fact that Amarin came back at the end, like, it was too perfect. Everyone that they
Amarin should have been gone, and Cassian.
Yeah. And Rhys. Let his sacrifice happen.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay.
He's my boyfriend. You can't kill him off.
I'm sorry. So that's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Thera, I mean Amanda.
And I'm Amber.
Join us next time as we discuss We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. If you have anything to share with us about anything we've discussed so far or any questions about what's coming up, let us know. Also, be sure to look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangove, no ER. Also, special shout out to Liz Emerson for her music. You can find her on Facebook at Liz Emerson or on Patreon. Thanks for listening.